It's time for Mac Break Weekly. We have a really big show. There's not a lot of Apple news. We'll talk about Apple's quarter of a billion in the bank, the 2 million jobs they've created in the United States, and the fact that they're the number one taxpayer in the United States, a little speculation about iPhones, and what is Apple going to do with Siri now that Amazon's Echo has a screen on it? It's all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 558, recorded Tuesday, May 9th, 2017. Whistling Dancing Penguins. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/MacBreak. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you could post to 100-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And by WordPress. WordPress powers 27% of all websites. Get 15% off your new website at WordPress.com/MacBreak. That's WordPress.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from
Apple.
I almost said AppleSoft. That would have been an interesting Freudian slip. That's Andy Inatko chortling in the background from the Chicago Sun-Times. Hello, Mr. Inatko.
I sure wouldn't mind like getting a version of AppleSoft that comes like with a disc jacket that has a floppy disc with magical angel's wings flying.
Those were the days, my friend. Also with us, Renee. I guess Renee's underwater. There's flooding in Ontario, and he's manning the sandbags. You said he's on his Instagram. You can see. Was that a joke?
I was joking because he's always is 95% of his Instagram are really cool pictures of Apple Watches.
Right.
And so I'm saying I would know that his city is on fire if there are like flames behind the Apple Watch. I know that he's flooded if there's sandbags behind the Apple Watch.
This is how serious it is. There is no flooding pictures, just a taco. So he's busy doing something. He's
sandbagging with tortillas, maybe.
Yes. Also with us, it's Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Corps. Hi, Alex.
Hey. Hello.
Good to see you again. Where have you been since we saw you last?
Where was I? I don't remember. I literally can't remember where I was the last time. I must
have had a good time.
Yeah. I was in LA. There was a music festival down south. I know that I was somewhere last.
Someone handed you a cup. They said, "Try this; it's not illegal yet."
Exactly. Vegas. I was in Vegas for NAB.
So that was the week before
last, and then I know that I was somewhere.
Please don't hurt yourself.
It's okay. I think the travel has definitely affected my memory. Yeah. I will say that
you looked like you've been at the Fire Festival. I'm not going to say anything else.
One piece of advice,
has your wife checked your body for tattoos? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. You look great. It's good to have you. Welcome.
Thanks.
Good to be here. And also, and by the way, Renee's in Quebec. I don't know why I said Ontario. Quebec, up north. Who else is up north? Adam Engst. He knows the difference. He's here from Tidbits. And I understand congratulations are in order for two things. You're an old man and you ran a long way. What was that? So it's like a relay race. It sounded like
this is a relay race. So I run this insane relay race. It's a 77.7 mile relay race around Seneca Lake, and it's a team race. So you have seven people running, but you don't just run once. You run three legs each,
So
it means like every 2 hours you have to run another race, and this is amazingly tiring.
You should look so much worse than Alex does.
you didn't see, the day afterwards, it didn't look so bad, but I couldn't actually walk. So.
Now, is that one of the Finger Lakes? Because it looks like it ought to be.
It is. So yeah. I am at the base of Cayuga Lake, the next one over, and our team is the Cayuga 7 because, well, I mean, we got to make clear what lake is in charge here. So
that's awesome.
This year we had a mixed team. So it was four men and three women, and we were going for the course record, the mixed division, which we got. Took second. Unfortunately, the winning team beat our men's course record from 2013, so we're on again for that one next year, I think.
Tell
so.
You.
have you ever considered running the Barkley? Back.
What's the Barkley?
Oh, I think Adam probably knows about this. I only know it through the documentary and reading articles.
The Barkley. I know what you're talking. We talked about that before.
I am not that nuts. I mean, this race is bad enough. But in any event, the connection with MacBreak Weekly was, you know, I'm completely destroyed at the end of this race, hanging out with my friends and the team in the parking lot. And this guy comes up to me, another runner in the race, and says, "Are you Adam Hengst? I saw you on MacBreak Weekly." And I'm and my friends, for the most part, don't know what I do. So they're just like, huh?
What are they talking about, Adam? We thought you were a dentist.
So no, one of my friend's wife's a dentist. But they know I do computer stuff, but not so much that. But anyway,
can I mention the other thing that you're to be congratulated for? Is that public knowledge?
That is indeed public knowledge.
Congratulations. You sold the book division from Tidbits, Take Control Books.
We did. We sold Take Control to Joe Kissel, our most prolific author, and in fact, the author of the very first Take Control book. And so his company, Alt Concepts, has, as of May 1st, taken over Take Control Books.
He calls it 2017, the year I take control.
And we did, in fact, do a fake book cover of Take Control of Take Control. So.
Nice. That's really great. I think for both of you, congratulations to Joe as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we've been doing this for 14 years, and that's a long time to be doing the same thing. And so Joe turned 50 in January, Tanya and I turned 50 later this year, and it was just, it's one of those times you start looking at your life and going, man, is this what I want to be doing for the next X years? And so it was a nice idea that we came up with, like, this is a way that we can keep everything going, all the authors, all the editors, and all the readers keep getting what they like. And so that just, it's a big win all around, and we're really looking forward to all the energy that Joe's going to bring to it, because nice. we were burning out a bit at the end there.
Hard work, and Tidbits of course takes a lot of your time.
Yeah. Tidbits does, and we've started this new Tidbits content network thing for syndicated content for consultants, Apple consultants, and resellers, and that's been fun to, like, do something new again, and like, I got to go back and release a book. So it's nice to give that off to Joe.
But also, I've always been so impressed with what you and Tanya have achieved, just in general, like as a family, as writers, as business people, and I remember, conference? At some conference or another, I remember you pulling me and somebody else into like an unused conference room, and even though no one can hear us, you're almost in whispers saying, "Okay, we're starting a publishing company. It's going to be called Take Control," and we're just like, "Okay, well, wow, that's great. Like, are you publishing like nuclear secrets?" But it was like the enthusiasm from day one was like, "Oh my God, this is going to be super, super awesome!" And the fact that like this isn't like selling off like a coal plant that's dead because the industry is dying. You've maintained this and built this into something of great value that someone who has undepleted stores of energy can now lift it off into the next orbit. So that's really, it's really exciting.
In some ways, we got to actually have a business for all of our friends. You know, there's good parts and bad parts to that, but you know, overall, it was really great that it was like, hey, we get to work with people we really enjoy and do cool stuff, and so that was a big win.
Well, the key is not starting a business with all your friends. It's keeping them all your friends after you've started the business together. That's the hard part.
Tell me about that.
We think we did pretty well with that.
So
yeah, good job. So, as long as we're doing the family hello, family welcome, we should welcome Oliver Breidenbach, who's in studio today from Boinks, visiting us from Germany.
Hi, Oliver.
You
should probably get him a chair and a microphone. I'm sure he'll have. Tell you what, if we say anything upsetting, leap to your feet and come run over here. Also, a couple of people from Australia, actually a family, Adam and Julian and Ness, visiting from Melbourne. And Ness is how old? 8 months. Seven. All right. But I think he's a big Apple fan, so that's good news. It was Jess's idea to come here. And Sheila and Carol and Adam from Mission Viejo and San Luis Obispo. So we got a big family, a big group in here. And guess what we're going to talk about? Not Apple. Well, a little bit. We'll get to Apple. But I do have
that
to
makes,
say this
morning. That makes people so happy.
This morning,
we're
I know.
We're crowd pleasers.
I know. We really want to give you everything you want. But the rumor is, of course, that Apple is working on an Echo killer, a Siri kind of a device. And Business Insider says, and it could be expensive. this is from Ming-Chi Kuo. It's Apple. I don't know. But I think the point is, if Apple's doing that, they better darn hurry, because Amazon is not resting on their laurels. This morning, they announced a brand new Amazon Echo Show. I pre-ordered a couple. And the reason you want a couple is because you can use it to make phone calls, one to the other. So I got one for my mom. I'm going to send it to her for Mother's Day, except it won't come out till June 28th. But the idea is this thing has a screen on it, and it does everything an Echo does, but it also makes phone calls. And today, later today, I guess, they will enable the Amazon Echo you already have to make audio phone calls. Really interesting to watch Amazon slowly take over the world.
Well, it's a way of getting people, now that there are, it's not the only game in town, to make people think that why would I want my next device to be an Apple device? Why would I want it to be a Google device, or now even a Microsoft device, when, Alyosha is my friend. Alyosha has been serving me well for the past 5 or 6, 7 years. Why would I not get Alyosha's even smarter cousin, Alexei, in the house as well? And they're doing it it's really quite savvy the way that they're doing this, I think. It is cool, the idea that I got the brief on it, it kind of got me interested in not having this necessarily on my nightstand, but having it like on a corner of my desk, because even now I still use
business phone, maybe. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but I do use Alyosha as my research assistant. Like, I'll be sitting here in front of with an actual keyboard and a computer, and I'm reading something where this new device is almost 14 grams less heavy, and I will just shout out, Alyosha, what's 14 grams in ounces, and just hear it back. And the idea of saying, show me a picture of the latest whatever, and that'll do. But the really savvy thing with calls and video calls, because it does have a video camera, is it really is a big deal to – you have a lot of people in your life that you kind of need to look in on from time to time. At certain age of life, it's going to be your infant kids in the other room. But it is sometimes going to be you have an elderly relative who can live independently but will benefit from occasionally, if you've called this person twice in 2 days and you haven't gotten any answer, if this person has permitted you to simply say, Alyosha, let me peek in on my Aunt Gail and just see if things look okay in her apartment. So long as it's secure, so long as it's trusted, so long as that camera isn't activated when you don't think it's going to be activated or by people that you're not going to allow to, that's a compelling reason for somebody to say, you know what, I think I do have an Aunt Gail, I do have an infant, I think I would like to have one of these in my house, and like yourself, I'd like to give one as a gift so I can just simply call this person, and I'm suddenly talking to him. So it's a really interesting application of extension.
The one thing that I didn't see was any kind of HDMI output, and I don't know if it has video. I think it has a 3.5 millimeter output for audio.
I think it's audio up, but I don't think video.
They're touting, though, as they did with the tube, they're touting the speakers. They say Dolby stereo speakers in here. But yeah, you're right. There's no, I don't even know if there's audio on this.
And the reason for that, I understand that it all be all in one. You want to keep it simple. I think for me, though, being able to put it on a larger screen could be, interesting and useful.
I would also like to point out there's an Atom processor in here. This is not the same Echo that we've seen before. This is something more significant. Incidentally, if you have a Ring doorbell, one of our sponsors, you could say, Alyosha, I like that, Alyosha, who's at the door, and see that on the screen. There are a lot of reasons to have a screen in this. Do you think the Siri that Apple would be doing would have a screen? We've heard rumors, well, in fact, more than rumors, Microsoft has mentioned that Cortana devices should have screens.
I think screens make a ton of sense because we have a Google Home, and honestly, I don't end up using it for hardly anything because I can't, you know, what it gives me, I have to then sit down and sort of listen to and parse carefully, whereas I read a whole lot faster than anything can speak to me. So if I can just glance at the screen and say, oh, yeah, that's what I need or not, I think that makes a big difference. And, you know, in the calls, what I think is actually more important than anything else is that it's fixed. Like, you can have this on your dining room table or something, and you know where to go.
Interesting.
You know, so you like, you, if you sit in this chair, you'll be able to have a phone call with your mother or with your sister who has a new baby or something like that. And so every time we've done FaceTime, it's always a little awkward because you're like pulling out your phone. You got to hold your phone up, you know, and or your computer is not really a setup to be multiple people in front of it, that kind of thing. So I think having the screen and sort of the fixed position is going to be what's make this kind of most interesting.
One of the reasons I'm sending one to my mom is we FaceTime every week. But there's always that awkwardness where she says, you turned it sideways, or wait, let me get my headphones. And there's just a whole bunch of stuff. And you nailed it, Adam, is that it's you know, it's in moving around.
And here's the other thing, which, I mean, this is so frustrating, but we don't say hello anymore. When we start an internet phone call of some sort, we say, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work half the time, or there's a setting that's wrong or whatever. So if this just works, you know, without having to know that you're plugged into the headphones, without having to change your settings, that's a big win. That's actually back to the plain old telephone system, which just worked.
It's you know, you got to admire Amazon's. I mean, the truth is, this isn't really new hardware, because if you had a Fire tablet or even the app on your phone, you could do a lot of these things. There was, you know, when I was playing music on an Echo, for instance, I could see it on my app, you know, what was playing and so forth. And I understand that the calling that they've added today will also do video calling if you on your app. So, they're not really creating any new technology, just a new piece of hardware to support this.
And it'll be interesting to see if they eventually grow to, with a better processor, grow to multiple people on the same call. So
group call.
I don't really see anything with group calling yet, but
they're taking $100 off if you buy two of them. That clearly they want this to be a point to point system. By the way, it wouldn't be the first time we've seen this kind of point to point system. 8x8 did that 15 years ago.
Didn't someone mention a 3Com Audrey too?
The Audrey was the kitchen computer, and this looks a little bit like an Audrey. Yeah,
and a lot of people comparing it to the Chumby, which was,
it's like a big Chumby. This is a 7-inch screen, but it's like a big Chumby. So this is not a product that has not failed in the past. It's failed many times in the past.
Well, you know, Google had had one for their Hangouts that was like kind of a setup for your TV, that, you know, there was like a little bit of a box that you would connect to your TV to do this. I think that was still more setup than most people wanted. But having this be able to go back into some kind of web interface or be able to interact with and group calling and so on and so forth. What's great about that is you could have, you know, a couple different people able to jump in, but you could still, you know, people who don't have one could be part of it, you know, from their phones, from, you know, this is just one input into that system. I think that might be possible. We'll see if they actually do that.
Yeah. One thing that they are saying, or they at least in their ad copy, is, you know, and we're part of the Flash News briefing right now. We send them audio only. Karsten, get ready, because it looks like they're going to have video in the Flash News briefing. And that's one way that you might be watching this as a television, which is kind of an interesting thing. I think you're right, Andy. I think this is on your office desk. This is where you work.
It really does show how Apple could take advantage of this. I think that the reason why this has a lot more chances of success than any of the other devices that we mentioned that tried to do this is that it's not trying to create something brand new. It's not trying to displace Oxygen from your existing home. It's designed to, here's a feature that you already use, that you already like, that you already trust. Here's another one of those that does all the things you like, but will also do some other things as well. So I'm really keen to see how Apple would attack this problem, because if they were to simply say that this is a conduit to all your content via Apple Music, you've already got all your playlists in Apple Music, you've already got all your photos in Apple Photos, you've already got a lot of your documents in iCloud. You've entrusted so much of your information to Apple in a very secure way. Now here is a way that you're also using Messages, you're also using the iMessage network. Now instead of having to convince your friend or your relative or your, let's say that you're raising a child in a divorced family and that sort of situation, here is a way you just buy this box and suddenly you can have a chat and simply say, I went to Yosemite last week. I really wanted to show you this weird bird that I came across, and you just simply flick something from your iPhoto library and it'll come across. It's not going to do well if they simply say, we've solved the problem of talking to computers. But the idea of saying that you already use Siri, you already use Photos, you already use Messages, you already use so many of our features, now here it is in a box that will just simply take out those features and put this in a consumer device that is roughly affordable and so good that everybody in your closest circle will want to have one, because it's just such a great way to communicate with each other that's a lot more natural than sitting in a computer studio with lights and a microphone and trusting that Skype or whatever is going to work.
So did they say anything about photo slideshows? I didn't see that offhand in what I was reading, but if you have all your photos on that screen. Yeah.
Yep.
So if this turns into the picture frame that's always on and showing you your favorite pictures as well, that's a win. You switch from that to having a phone call or displaying, a recipe on screen, that kind of thing. Screen makes a ton of sense.
So, WWDC, less than a month away, right? No, it's just exactly, almost July. Exactly a month away. It's in June 15th, right? Am I wrong?
Actually, it's in July.
It's in July this year.
I think so, because I was wondering the same thing. And yesterday morning, I asked my Google Home, what are the dates of
June 5th?
Oh no, I'm sorry. No, that was That was San Diego Comic Con.
My apologies. Easy to confuse the two. I understand, Andy. Yeah,
there are the two weeks where I am unavailable for other people, and other people are unavailable to me. So I need to know what those 2 weeks are.
So in a little less than a month, Apple's going to have its WWDC conference. Presumably, this is. I feel like it's a pressure cooker now for them. That the pressure is building. They've got this next generation iPhone. Amazon, Amazon hasn't released figures, but according to eMarketer, has 70% of this, whatever this market is, this talking to a thing and having an answer market. And Google has most of the rest with the Google Home. Apple's not on the map, obviously, nor is Microsoft. But Apple has a history of, not being the first to out of the gate, but often to beat everybody else with the best out of the gate. Is it too late for Apple? What can Apple do? It is a tough one, because you've got an ecosystem, a two-year-old ecosystem with the Echo that's
not things that people are used to replacing, right? It's not like you buy a new one of these every year or two. You're just like, it's not a turnover.
I bought a Google Home because I thought I should, and I just don't use it because I have Echoes everywhere.
Which is funny, because I have both, and I use my kids have taken over the Google Home and don't talk to Amazon for whatever reason. So they just don't, for some reason it was wrong more often or something.
So is there room for Siri in all of that?
I think so. I think that the secret is actually the ecosystem, not the ecosystem that Amazon and Google have made necessarily, but the ecosystem that Apple has, which is that if they connect something like this to your iPhones, your iPads, your computers, all the other things, and make those all integrate with what that's doing. I don't think that's something that Google and Amazon have as well established. So for instance, if they did something like what we're looking at here, but I can call you on that from my iPhone and still, so you're fixed, but I'm not, or I can call anybody's iPhone from that, and having that be, taking advantage of FaceTime technology and so on and so forth. That ecosystem is something that is definitely to Apple's advantage.
It's a challenge, and it's not the only challenge Apple is about to face. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Andy Anakos here from the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Engst from Tidbits, Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Core. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. You're buying a house, you're refining your existing home, Now's a good time to do that as interest rates start to ratchet up. The best place to go? Well, you want to go to a mortgage company that you trust, one that has your best interests in mind, one that's flexible, and one that's services particularly well, services us, the geeks. And that's Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans, the best in the business. Not only one of the biggest, but really one of the best. They are very technologically minded, year after year, number one in customer satisfaction from J.D. Power, both for mortgage origination and mortgage servicing. They're a great mortgage lender. And they want to serve the geek with Rocket Mortgage, an entirely online mortgage approval process. This is amazing. For you, the whole thing, it can happen in a matter of minutes. And I have to say that is such a stark contrast to the last time I bought a house 3 years ago. We bought it from a bank. You know, the mortgage was from a big bank. And it took more than a month. And they kept coming back for more and more and more. I wish Rocket Mortgage had been around then. And I could tell you, when it comes time to refi or buy, that's where we're going. You do it all online. There's sliders. You can adjust the rate and term of your loan. You can give them all the paperwork they need, like pay stubs and check statements, right from the screen. You could do it on your phone. You could do it at an open house. And you can get approved in minutes for a loan that's just right for your particular financial situation. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank. Skip the waiting. Do it completely online. QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak. QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak. Break equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage. It's from Quicken Loans, of course. Rocket Mortgage is at QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak. And we thank them so much for their support of MacBreak Weekly. It's funny because I don't normally pay attention to Apple patents, but patently Apple had an article saying Apple was granted. It's not like Apple's not doing R&D. 41 patents today, including an optical pen and an intelligent grocery store bag tag. And now, admittedly that, you know, Apple with a you know, full-time attorneys is going to patent everything they think of because, well, you know, why not? But you got to kind of when think, come on, Apple, can focus. Yeah, does the world need a bag tag? They got a patent for their Apple Store bags, for the handles on their Apple Store bags.
I mean, there's such a machine there to do that I know. Part of this is that, you know, someone comes up with something in the midst of an idea of a larger ecosystem, and they go, okay, well, and I'm sure that there's a drive to run those patents. It's probably not super expensive. Ooh, at the scale that they
do. Has anyone checked? Can you do this with Siri? Siri, file a patent.
That would make it easy. That's for sure.
And again, it keeps the other people out of that too. So, you know, it's something that once they get ahead of that, they are able to, you know, slow anything down that might surprise them later.
You know, Apple's got some money. They could be working hard on something. I hope they are. Besides the next iPhone. The next iPhone's obvious. And it's, guys, one of the problems a company faces when you have such a big success with something is that it's hard to then, you know, go to the next thing.
Well, I think that they have a lot of places they could go. It's just a matter of deciding which one they want to. And I personally think they may be waiting for, you know, some of the tax stuff to come through. You know,
well,
as far as,
let's talk about that, because we mentioned last week they have $250 billion in cash, $250 billion in cash, most of it overseas. And you're right, they're waiting for repatriation. But it is also important to point out that Apple is the largest single taxpayer in the country, $15.8 billion last year in taxes.
And that's only accounting for Apple's their contribution, directly. You know, that's their sales tax and their corporate tax.
No, $15.8 billion on income taxes alone.
Okay, that's cool. So then what you're not adding is the sales tax, and the sales tax is going to be bigger than that. And then what you're not also adding is how much tax their employees pay, and then you're not all adding how much people are making. You know, the estimate I saw, I can't find it, but it was north of $20 billion from employees and contract people who who build into the, you know, the contractors, the people who build into the app store within the United States, all those things. So you're talking, you know, $30-35 billion contributed by the company in one way or another.
Yeah. Apple's tax rate, despite the double Irish with a Dutch sandwich, is 25.8%. Now, the statutory corporate tax rate is 35%. So, in effect, what they're doing eliminates about 10% in tax by, you know, clever accounting. On the other hand, you look at Microsoft, which had $20 billion in foreign income in 2016, and their income tax expense was $3.3 billion. They pay a mere 16.5% in taxes. Google, 19%. So Apple, for all the criticism Apple gets for hiding, you know, its revenues overseas, they pay a much higher tax rate than either Google or Microsoft.
Well, I think part of that is that so much of their income is based on hardware.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's hardware versus software.
Is that it? Yeah. Okay. Although we said for so long, it seems foolish now. You know, I used to say, whose wallet would you rather have, Steve Jobs or Bill Gates? And it always was Bill Gates, because you can make a lot more money on an intangible good like software, because you have to, but there's no cost of goods or relatively little cost of goods. But that's flip-flopped. That flip-flopped years ago. And, of course, for years, Microsoft wished it had Steve Jobs or Tim Cook's wallet, you know. General Electric had a tax rate of minus 4.5%.
Wait a second. So we're paying General Electric to exist as taxpayers?
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. Yeah, in effect, they got a $400 million tax benefit.
Yeah, I don't even use GE light bulbs, so I don't know where that's coming from.
And I don't think that I'm not totally sure, but I believe that what that benefit is that gets carried over to the next year. It's not something. It's not like the government's writing them a check for $400 million.
I certainly hope not. They might have gotten a refund though.
I think that's benefit of losses that were so right. great or something or so many expenses or depreciated hardware that allows
Exxon for instance, oil companies have famous tax credits, zero taxes in 2016. Although the company says in the decade they paid $110 billion over 10 years. Okay, fine. So, you know, I think one of the things this tells you is we got to reform the corporate tax system. It's clearly all over the place.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. If you've got billions and billions of dollars to try to not pay taxes on, that means that you've got tens and tens of millions of dollars to spend on accountants and lawyers to not hide it for you, but say, here's what the law is. Here is what you can do. Just like people who are in the middle incomes, we can afford to have accountants who say that, okay, yes, actually, if you keep your receipts from the taxi fare you took from the airport to the conference hotel, you can deduct that as an expense. Six Ways to Sunday, things that are legal, but you might not occur to you that you can actually save some money on your taxes that way. But it's a really good number to have out there in public, because it does give Apple the credibility to fight for a different for repatriation of overseas money that they've got. It also gives them the credibility to say that perhaps we could be putting that money to better use domestically. It's part of a lot of different information that is, let's say, it's coming out all of a sudden about here is what Apple is doing with money and here is what Apple is trying to incentivize for American manufacturing and creating American jobs. Again, it's not necessarily being in a defensive position, but it is a way to say it's easy for you to say, here's how much we are the biggest taxpayer in the entire country. We are not dodging taxes. We are doing things that are completely legal. However, we would like to be doing things that are completely legal that also benefit the American economy better. So it'll result in things that are to Apple's advantage, but it gives them the ability to not sound as though they're trying to cut Medicare by $500 billion in order to, you know, it's it gives them better footing.
I personally think that the corporate tax rate, I mean, when it's as high as it is, and it is the highest in the world, you have to have loopholes, because there are legitimate reasons that smaller companies can't operate at that. You can't just say it's going to be 35% and there's not any exceptions, you know. And so the problem you get into is that you have to create exceptions, and those exceptions are the loopholes that everybody's using. And so if by lowering that tax and then, you know, getting rid of some of those loopholes, you could theoretically, you know, make that a lot simpler. The issue, you know, the thing that'll be really interesting to see what happens is this possible repatriation holiday that people are talking about, which is, you know, either a temporary or a momentary, you know, drop to 10% or something like that, a repatriation of funds. The estimates are there's $1.5 trillion that's overseas that could come back in. That's Apple's is a big chunk of that, but there's a lot more that's out there that could come back in. And then you end up with that money can now be reinvested. In a lot of ways, that money sitting all somewhere else in a bank or in bonds is constraining the growth of the United States.
Because hold on there,
mister. It's not going to come back.
I know that's what Apple would like you to believe. That's why they announced $1 billion job creation fund. They created a page that shows they have 2.2 million people in the U.S. employed. There's a big PR campaign going on right now from Apple to show what a good corporate citizen it is. Right. And a lot of that is aimed towards getting that money back in the country. But I think I had forgotten, but I was reminded that this has been tried once before. 2004, George Bush.
They had a patriation.
A tax holiday, and according to the Wall Street Journal, it was a failed policy. It cost the Treasury $3.3 billion in lost revenue over 10 years, and it ended up really just the 15 companies that repatriated the most cut jobs 20,000 jobs between the year they got the money and 3 years later, decreased the pace of their spending on research and development. You know what they did? They bought exactly what Apple will do. They bought back stock, paid off debt, and paid their CEOs more money. So before we get all excited about the benefits of repatriation, sure, Apple would like its $250 billion in its pocket. But what will it do with it is another question. I think this is part of a PR campaign Apple's launch. I think it's highly likely
they're going to pay off their debt.
because they can't get at this money. They've been borrowing to use it in the United States for stock buybacks. And this $1 billion, by the way, is borrowed money. But they get it at a very low rate because everybody knows they got money in the bank.
I was going to say, I mean, I have to assume that Apple's borrowing money because the rates make it sense to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, because why bother if you can get 5% in the bank, so to speak, or
they're borrowing because they can't touch their cash pile. Apple, according to Bloomberg, buys more company debt than the world's biggest bond funds. They are a big lender of, you know, their Apple's corporate debt outstrips the, you know, Vanguard, NetWest, PIMCO. Their corporate debt is $148 billion, but they have $250 billion in the bank. So, but they just can't use it.
The math is super simple. I mean, it's 35% to bring it into the country or 3% to pay against the debt.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like it doesn't and it's easy to say that, you know, that Apple should be doing it. But if we had that money, we would do the same thing.
Sure.
Like, we're not going to get more money.
And that's the thing to point out. They're just doing what their fiduciary responsibility is, which is minimizing
tax and
maximizing
duty, they're doing
profit.
What just about every corporation would do if it had the ability to do it.
Right. I'd do it.
So here's the question. They've got all this money overseas, and one of the things they could do with that money is they could start spending it overseas.
They do spend it overseas.
But that's the whole point, is if the more they spend overseas, the less they're going to be spending here, and we can start seeing more and more, you know, kind of investment in other countries if it's one of those things where they just can't do anything else with the money. They're just forced to sit on it. They're going to start using it in ways that, you know, might not be as advantageous to the U.S.
Well, you know who's not getting that money? Qualcomm. Oh, is this a messy fight? Apple says we're not going to pay the royalties we owe Qualcomm. And they're suing Qualcomm, and Qualcomm's suing them. Apple says Qualcomm owes it $1 billion in rebates. Qualcomm is, you know, taking a pretty big hit from revenue. It's not getting from Apple. This is all about an ongoing court battle over the patents that should be Apple thinks licensed at a much lower cost. Tim Cook has a whole statement on why we're withholding royalties owed to Qualcomm. I invite you to read that in your own time. Because there's nothing more boring than a court case, people suing other people.
Well, but it could get real interesting real quick, because it's like there is now a grenade inside every single iPhone that Apple has yet to sell. That if they get a judge on a very, very bad day when he or she has not had their morning cookie, and they simply say, well, you know what, by a direct reading of the law, Apple owes this company money, is not paying this company money, therefore they do not have the right to use this critical piece of software that they plan to put inside every phone. So guess what, Apple, you cannot sell any iPhones that have this software. And
by the way, that's Qualcomm's strategy.
Right, exactly. They could force Apple into a position where they will have to say, do we jeopardize the next launch, or do we simply do something we don't want to do, which is to pay money that we legitimately don't feel that we owe. So, like, this could get really, really interesting, really, really quickly. I don't think it'll go that far, because I don't think that Qualcomm wants to lose a taste of every single iPhone that gets sold. I don't think that Apple wants to let any phone release get delayed by 8 seconds if they can avoid it. But you better believe that Apple has in its plans, let's make sure we don't have to use any Qualcomm software. Let's find a way we can beat these patents. Let's find a way we can find alternative technology, or get this money back from overseas and buy the right company, or buy Qualcomm if we have to, in order to get out from under their thumb. That's really the big deal about repatriating this money. You think about it, Apple isn't a company that writes out big dividend checks to either its executives or its shareholders. You got to think about this $250 billion as firepower. This is the ability to keep the guns firing against Google, against Amazon, against Microsoft, by acquiring companies, by developing entirely new technologies, by taking a lot of services like manufacturing and a lot of these technologies they have to license out and pay for, and making it something that Apple simply owns and can do on their own. They do not have access to that weaponry so long as that money has to sit parked, looking beautiful and all $250 billion, like glistening on a hill that they can't reach.
It's not a court, it's the ITC, the International Trade Commission, a quasi-judicial agency, according to Bloomberg, that in Washington has the power to block the import of goods into the U.S. and works more quickly than the federal district courts. And that's cause for concern. Now, this is an article from May 3rd saying Qualcomm is preparing to ask the ITC. As to my knowledge, they have not yet done that. So I'm not sure if this is mostly just saber rattling or if they really do plan to do that. But that would be... By the way, Qualcomm has taken a $500 million write-off in the quarter for saying that this is, you know, Apple not paying us license fees is going to cost us $500 million. Yeah. It's a big deal.
But it also points to why... A lot of the work that Apple is doing in making sure they have good contacts and good relationships with Washington, D.C., Now you get to see why that's always such a smart investment, because you never know who you're going to have to call and say that, look, we don't do anything that will get you into a congressional hearing or anything, but we would like very much for our side to be heard and validated here, especially when you have any tribunal that is known as quasi-legal. That's a big problem, whether you're the little guy or the big guy. If it's quasi-legal, there could be quasi-justice.
Speaking of quasi-numbers, the 2 million jobs that Apple claims to have created across 50 states, well, there's only 80,000 Apple employees. 450,000 jobs, they say, are U.S.-based suppliers. And a whopping more than three-quarters of that, is attributable to the App Store ecosystem. That 2 million, a little bit of a soft number there, but this is all part of that. This Apple page. It's at apple.com, apple.com/job creation.
Yeah,
is really lobbying. It's that kind of. It's exactly what you were saying, Andy. This is not aimed at you and me. This is aimed at Washington, D.C.
Well, that too, but also to make sure that the Apple tribe is on Apple's side. Just think about that for a second. That when my iPhone suddenly can't hold a charge for more than 2 hours, and I go to Apple.com just to find out when I can get a time at my local Genius Bar, that's the first thing that I get to see. Or that's one of the things I can see, which Apple's message on how good Apple is for the United States, and how, gosh, that could be my cousin who gets that job, work on a local manufacturing.
Yeah, but really, come on, Apple. And then they break it down state by state. In Alaska, there's one store, 74 employees, but 1,000 App Store jobs. So you see,
That's amusing.
Long cold winters. They've got nothing to do but develop.
I am working hard.
That's gutsy.
You know, Alaska is a pretty good place to develop. I mean,
okay. There's 1,000 jobs, but are they paying jobs? I mean,
right. I know
people on both spectrums of the App Store. People who are not making any money, they put something out, it didn't work out, and people who have made millions on it. And so this is definitely a wide range.
Absolutely. Yep. But I would say that if you're saying 3/4 of the 2 million jobs you've created in the U.S. are people writing apps, that's not right. 1.5 million people making money writing.
I forget what company it was, but it was a large company that's going into like home delivery of food and whatever that sent me press release saying, and this is going to create over 10,000 delivery jobs in the United States. And I'm, you know, you have to sigh a little bit and say, yeah, and you're going to be giving health care and dental. You're going to be paying them all a living wage with time off. No, you're just going to be you just want meat drones until you can replace them with actual drones and pay them nothing at all. So don't come to me about how you're creating jobs unless you're willing to tell me how you're going to help this employee to feed their children and maybe have some money to retire on, even if it's not enough to retire on completely.
Andy, look at all the blue dots. I mean, the blue dots speak. Look, these are app,
even
app
well
jobs.
Even better. That's not just blue dots, my friend. Those are aquamarine dots.
okay, Apple. Yeah.
You talk about the politics. I have no doubt that there were a lot of meetings about what color they're going to choose for their dots. It cannot be too blue. Cannot be too red. It has to look like it's politically indifferent.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. This is not the Apple bashing show. I don't want to make it the Apple bashing show, but just you know.
But I want to take a second though, because that is a complaint, and people are entitled to feel how you want to feel. But at least I can only speak for myself that my point of view is that Apple lives in a world that it's going to have to deal with, and if there is a product made by Microsoft or by Amazon or a political thing that is going to affect Apple, or it's interesting to discuss how it could affect Apple, we need to discuss it and talk about how it's going to affect Apple.
I will defend to the death. Feel
how you want to feel, but that's if we talk about these things, it's not because we're not interested in Apple, it's because we are interested in Apple. We're not just only interested in, again, oh my God, the chamfer angle on that casing. I have to change my pants twice today. I'm so excited about this chamfer angle.
There's a limited number of chamfer angles we can discuss. Actually, let me ask you, Adam, you've been doing this for 27 years, and if you cover one company, of course there's an ebb and flow to the stories. This is going to be right now, as we lead up to WWDC, there's not going to be any news. It's all going to be rumors. So what do you do?
I have to admit, after 27 years, I ignore them.
Seriously. You know, I really want to ignore rumors. I just think they're stupid. but we do it just because we got to talk about something.
Well, and I mean, we've actually were joking internally that we want to have the article about all the news we didn't cover.
Yeah.
Because it's not news.
Right.
Because it's not, I mean, you know, there's only so much you can do or so much you can write about stuff that isn't yet
true. It's not real.
True.
Yeah.
It's not real. And you can speculate all day long, or you can just ignore it, put it out of your head, wait till something happens, and then analyze what actually happened. Because, I mean, I still remember way back when I started writing books. This is in the 1993-ish, 94-ish. It was just on the edge of when the magazines would cover books. And I remember talking to the editor, I think it was Mac Week, actually. And they were saying that, you know, they really had to be careful about what they covered, because they wanted to cover stuff that people had made buying decisions about, and books weren't expensive enough. So I've always sort of thought about, you know, like when I'm talking about rumors or whatnot, does this help someone make a buying decision?
Yeah, no, I know. It's more just.
And if the answer is no, if it's just soap opera. Yeah, if it's just soap opera, then I got better things to do with my time, although a whole lot less than I did a couple weeks ago.
there are a lot of the most dopey rumor story is when we announce that Apple cancels a product it never announced. Those are my favorite. And we still do those too. You know, Apple's not going to do a self-driving car, even though they never announced they were.
Unless they are 2 weeks later.
Unless they are. And then we hope they are, because it'll give us something to talk about. I don't know. No, I like to speculate. And, you know, we have to fill 2 hours a week. You don't have to.
Yeah. Oh. And see, actually, that's the thing is if you're doing it for fun.
Yeah.
That's one thing. If you're pretending that it makes a difference to someone's life as to whether or not Apple's going to do a self-driving car now, it doesn't. It just doesn't.
Well, here's the good news. So, there is no rumor news this week. It's like nothing.
Well, thanks a lot, Alex, for making me feel really good about my life choices and my career right now. In the end, what does anything that any of us do matter in the long run? We're food for worms, whether we write about this or don't write about this.
All right.
I'm going to there's a piece of cake in the fridge and I'm just going to go get it.
Some hard news. There's a Mac Trojan floating around. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But first,
ooh, that got its attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to pay attention to Mac Trojan.
Mac Trojans. The Trojan man will join us in moments. But first, a word. This would be a good place never mind.
From our new sponsor.
From our new sponsor. There are podcasts that have, you know, more adult advertising, and no one's offered that to us lately. But in the early days, we were offered a lot of, you know, Adam and Eve and other stuff, the stuff Adam Carolla will advertise, and we just always said, you know, I don't like Adam feels about Mac rumors. I feel about condom ads. Let's just say that. Who needs them? we did have ads for underwear. That Scooter X is reminding me. Yes, it's true. Yes, our show. We try to stick with stuff you can really use, like this ZipRecruiter. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're doing the hiring in your company, you know what a pain in the butt it is. But please don't gloss over this job. It's the most important job in a company. The company is made of the people you hire. And a great hire could take your company to the moon. And as you know, a bad hire just means pain and suffering for you. So let's do it right up front. Let's assume the perfect person's waiting out there. If you could just reach out far enough, cast a broad enough net, you know you would have that great person. Well, here's how you do it. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes it possible with one click of your mouse to post to more than 100 job boards, plus social media networks like Facebook and Twitter. So your job listing is going to reach the most possible candidates. You'll find candidates in any city, any industry, anywhere in the U.S. You post once, and then they've solved the thing that I know immediately if you're the hiring manager, you're going, wait a minute, though. That means I'm going to get a million resumes in my inbox and a thousand calls tomorrow. No. They don't have your email. They don't have your phone number. They go right into the ZipRecruiter interface. And I love this. They pre-format all the resumes, makes it easy to read. You can screen them automatically with yes, no questions or true, false, or multiple choice, or even essay questions. So you could just get rid of, a lot of people who just aren't the right fit. Narrow it down, rank them fast, and find the right person. That's the key. This is using technology to make your job not only easier, but better, to do a better job hiring. ZipRecruiter has been used by everybody from the smallest businesses like ours, at even smaller, you know, one-man shops, medium-sized businesses, one-man shops that want to become two-man shops, and Fortune 100 companies, too. Look at the big companies, VW, Marriott, AT&T, a lot of companies, TiVo, Target, Dell, a lot of companies use ZipRecruiter because it's the most efficient way to post jobs and hire and I want to emphasize this, the right person fast. More than a million companies have already used ZipRecruiter. Why don't you give it a try? I got a free trial for you. ZipRecruiter.com/twit makes it easy. ZipRecruiter.com/twit. Try it free. And I think you'll see this is the most efficient, the easiest, the best way to do your job. ZipRecruiter.com/twit. If you downloaded Handbrake, which we tell everybody to download, it's one of the greatest tools ever. But if you downloaded it from the dates of May 2nd through May 6th inclusive, you have a 50-50 chance you got a Trojan because one of the two mirrors was compromised and you were downloading an infected application. It's a variant of a Trojan that's been around for a while, OS10.Proton. ZipRecruiter. Handbrake has a security warning on their site with the terminal commands. Complicated though they might be, that will remove that. And Apple, the good news is, if you didn't, you know, download it and install it at that time, you're okay now, because OS X's XProtect has already been updated to block it, so you don't have to worry about it. Did they have we've seen this before, a forged certificate, or maybe Handbrake doesn't. Maybe Handbrake's maybe one of those apps where
Handbrake
you don't use,
is not signed.
It's not signed.
That's why, and why not? I mean, that's, you know, it's one thing if you're just, you know, doing some kind of little one-off open source thing and you don't, you know, like you're 0.3 or something. But Handbrake's been around forever and it's used by a ton of people. Why aren't they, you know, signing with a developer certificate? That would have stopped this, as far as I understand
it. How much does it cost to get an app signed by Apple?
$99.
So if you're a developer, you get a certificate.
You're a developer. Yeah. So
that's
what I
understand. There's no reason not to spend $99, even if you're French schoolboys. Get it. having said that, Adam, there have been cases of forged certificates. In fact, very recently, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so, that's not a guarantee. But
it makes it a little harder.
Makes it a little harder. It raises the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already doing things with signing and publishing their signing keys and whatnot so that you can compare them manually. But who's going to do that?
Yeah, I know. That's the open source way of doing things. You know, you have a hash and you publish it and you say, now you got to run your PGP against the downloaded file, make sure the hash matches. And yeah, who's going to do that? Apparently, very few people are going to do that. Apple, if you do get a cert, though, it gives Apple yet another tool to block it. So they use XProtect, but they also can revoke the certificate. In fact, that's what happened with the OS X dock malware. Did we talk about? I think we talked about dock last week. That's the one that comes as an attachment document with a k.zip. If you open it, it can install a Trojan on your system. And that had a valid certificate, but forged. And Apple, of course, immediately revoked it. And now it won't run. Now it won't install. Unless you've got your gatekeeper set to ignore all that, which you really shouldn't do. Mm. It's no problem to right-click. If you got something without a certificate like Handbrake, you right-click on it, you say open, and then you get infected. It's much easier.
Yeah, that's the problem with this kind of security, where you at some point it gets. I know that I've just downloaded something from a third party. I've never had a problem with this, so I don't even really register. They have to click through anything to get there, even though I should probably. It's a reminder that you should probably at least ask yourself: are you getting it directly from the source? Are you getting it from a mirror? Are you getting it from a place like one of the third party download sites where they could have added pretty much anything to it?
So to be clear, Gatekeeper in Sierra does not allow.
Gatekeeper in Sierra what?
Does not allow you to your choices are App Store and App Store and identified developers. You can't turn it off entirely without doing extra work.
Actually, somebody in the chat room is making an interesting point, which is that Handbrake is often used. Oh, is that Oliver? Well, do we have a room for Oliver? I know it's a big panel, but let's get his thoughts on this. He's a developer. Boinks Software, B-O-I-N-X Software. You get a certificate, right, Oliver, for all of your stuff? Yeah. But you're a big shot. You're big time. He points out...
He's got $99.
Is there any
bucks.
Way we could have him join the panel? Do you want to do that? Let's do it. John's going to watch this as our crack engineering team leaps into action. Look at this. Adam, you're going to have to move over, though, a little bit. Adam's sliding over to the right of the screen. Just we'll make something here for Oliver.
Kind of hide.
He will have something to say about all of this. We're just going to drop this in. I should have done this sooner. I apologize for doing it now. As long as we're doing this, let me mention a rumor that Adam Engst would prefer I don't say anything about. This is a correction to the rumor that was wrong. That Apple wouldn't ship its iPhones till maybe next year, you know, the new OLED iPhone, till next year. Apple reportedly set to start shipping the iPhone in October. This is one of those rumors that corrects a rumor that Apple never said anything about. It's completely all rumor. It's rumors all the way down.
Yeah, I was going to say, until it's turtles.
Until it's turtles. It's crazy. It's crazy.
There's a turtle at the bottom.
Ming-Chi Kuo is fighting with some other analyst over this, I guess. We'll find out. Hey, Oliver, it's nice to see you.
Yeah.
Oliver has been on the show many times before. Comes out. Where in Germany are you?
Munich.
Oh, that's the place to be.
Best beer in the world.
Best beer in the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to come visit you in September for Oktoberfest.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Which is confusing, but that's how it works. I'll visit you in September for Oktoberfest. Well, you know how I know that? I came in October. The beer was gone.
Yeah.
You guys drank it all.
Yeah. Drank it all.
Yeah. So Boinks gets certificates.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
$99. Is that all? I mean, just to be a developer?
Yeah, it's yes.
There's no other process?
No, there's no other. Yeah, I mean, it's a pain in the ass to actually sign all the apps and that the certificates and the signatures and that's all. My engineers after like
they hate you
doing this for like 5, 6, 7, 8 years. They still struggle with figuring it out. Apple has made it much easier in recent years with the latest releases. So Xcode now has the option to say, you know, just fix this for me. But my engineers are like, don't press that button. Don't press that button. It's you know, it's doing things and we don't understand it. And afterwards, you have to start over all over again. So they can be, there's room for improvement there. Sure.
But not enough to stop Handbrake from doing it. Why don't they do it?
Well, I think maybe they have their other priorities, or maybe it's a way to stop them from actually distributing.
So that might be the concern, because they are used to rip DVDs. They took that capability. Yeah. They took DCSS out of it and said, uh-huh. "Well, you're going to have to go get VLC if you want to do that."
Yeah.
Another unsigned app. But I think you're right. Apple might very well, under pressure from Hollywood, say, "Well, we're not going to allow either VLC or Handbrake to exist."
So that might be a possibility. Yeah.
And so you run a little bit of a risk if you're doing that, but fortunately, Apple has XProtect, which is they deserve more credit for that. That's not something they talk about, but they deserve more credit for that, because that is a very useful tool in blocking malware infections once they're discovered, and it's one of the reasons that the platform is safer. So as long as I got you, how's things going? iStop Motion we've used for years, Photo Magico. Anything new coming from?
We've got a lot of apps now. Yeah, well, we're currently focusing on the Mimo Live, which is a live video streaming, live video production app.
Is that for Facebook Live? Or
That's also for Facebook Live. We can do live streaming for all platforms: Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, you name it. We can do it. Periscope.
That's pretty cool. I might have to use it. Right now, I do Facebook Live right into the Facebook client.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't give you a whole lot of capability.
No.
Yeah. So I could go through this Mimo Live.
Yeah. Mimo Live is a live video production system. It allows you to switching, does screen screening, graphics. We can even do like the panel discussions. We now have a thing called Mimo Call, where people can join your show just by clicking on a URL that you sent to them in a Chrome browser. So it's sort
using
of like
WebRTC?
Yes, based on WebRTC.
So we last time I saw you was at NAB a year ago, and the Mevo came out from Livestream, and I used that a couple of times to stream live. Can I use the Mevo with Mimo Live?
Not
they're
at this
separate,
time, no.
They're separate tools.
Yeah, all of this, and you discussed this earlier, all of these companies are trying to build their own ecosystems, and they don't want to let you in there easily. So it's always a fight. And with us being based in Europe, it's even harder to get someone to talk to us there.
I'll try this. Yeah. This looks cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Every time as the world advances, Alex, and I see all these inexpensive solutions, and I look at how much it cost us to build this studio.
Yes.
And the good thing about Alex is he's always trying everything. But
did you try Mimo Live yet?
Your mic's muted, sir. Alex, his mic. No sound.
I tried it when it first came out, and there were a couple things missing. I haven't looked at the latest version, and I need to jump into it.
Trial.
I was looking at the calling, especially the WebRTC calling would be really interesting.
Yeah.
How many people can you call at one time?
That's not limited. I mean, it's limited by the bandwidth and the processing power of your computer, but there's no hard limit like coded into the software. We've done 6, 7.
And just each one of them just comes in as an input?
Yes, like they are their own camera and microphone.
It's like Skyposaurus, the big thing that we built many years ago.
like that, just easier. And we can also do a hi-fi sound. So we've got this guy, the one guy who runs a guitar show, and he has his users or viewers call in and play them guitar riffs, and
that's cool.
Over the
and then as far as your inputs, it's just limited to the SDI card, so 8 inputs or 16 inputs if it had them.
So we can do 8 inputs with the Blackmagic card with the Quad 2. I don't think we can get more than 8 inputs just because the machines currently don't handle more bandwidth.
It's a lot. We've been using a TriCaster with 8 inputs for years without any. You just have to, have a way to switch your video inputs on the fly.
Well, the thing is, we like to do the switching inside MimoLife because then you can do N-ups and
We do that with a TriCaster. I'm just saying because that was actually the biggest expense in the studio was having a patch bay in effect that Blackmagic, what is it called?
288 by 288 router.
Yeah, it's 144 in, 288 out, and that was expensive. But that means that we in effect have 144 inputs. We just have to pick the 8 we're going to use today.
Yeah,
not recommending that, by the way. If you, it's the things like that that really make it all start to add up. But we had at one time, I think 40 different cameras, plus lots of other inputs of all kinds of computers. You know, this is an input. Everything we do is an input here. But this is good. I like to see it become more and more affordable and available to anybody who wants to do this. I think that's fantastic. It's nice to see you, Oliver.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Being here. Yeah.
So. Next time, please, some bratwurst and beer, please. Bring them with you.
Yeah. Order's taken.
let's see. What are we going to do here? I want to do a couple more stories, and then we'll take a break and get your picks of the week, okay? Apple, actually, stick around because there's some app stuff that maybe you might want to weigh in on, Oliver. For instance, Apple's updating its analytics service, new metrics showing how apps get discovered. You're a mobile app developer.
Yeah, we are.
Does Apple give you as much help as you'd like in things like this?
So I think the best improvement that they made this year was that you can now actually respond to
reviews.
Ratings and reviews.
That's huge.
That's a huge thing. Yes,
And that's good. By the way, that's not just good for developers. That's good for end users too, because the reviews really were becoming just a mess, and people were trashing you, and you had no way of saying no, that's not true, or that guy, that's a competitor, or whatever. And I think it's really helpful for people reading reviews to hear the Android's had this for a long time, and I always read the response from the developer, and often that reassures me. Oh, the developer knows about this bug, cares. It's not a bug. It's somebody who's not. Half the time, reviews are people who just couldn't or just
don't. Yeah, just tech support questions.
They're tech support questions. Yeah. So the analytics now, Apple's been doing that for a couple of years, but you can actually now see, for instance, how people found you. You can see whether they found you through browsing the App Store, searching the App Store, through a referrer in the App Store, or a referrer in the web. Although, interestingly, at the same time as they've done this, they cut the web referrer fee to from 7% to 2%. But this is when you look at this kind of stuff, where do your customers come from? It must be from web referrals, right?
We send most of the customers from our website to the App Store. So one interesting thing about these things is that are they available for Mac and iOS apps, or is it just iOS apps?
iOS.
All right. So that's kind of a puzzling thing for me, is that how many of these features are just available for iOS, and
they have an app store on the Mac.
I don't understand what I think that it should be the same software driving both app stores, but apparently there must be some sort of difference between those. So,
And in fact, in this article in TechCrunch, Sarah Perez writes, it's possible as well Apple's rolling out these metrics ahead of an App Store makeover at WWDC that could change how discovery works, and they wanted to get this into developers' hands in advance of that. So another thing, one of many things to be watching for at WWDC. You're not going to WWDC this year. Why not?
It's the timing didn't work out, and also, you know, that
you'd like to.
Obviously, yes. But it's also a hard case to make for business wise for the expenses right now.
Yeah.
I think it's good that they moved back to San Jose. I don't know. Maybe is that because the Moscone Center is close to something?
I think they're slowly. They said it's because Apple staff spent so much time on the road to San Francisco, they would lose hours of productivity. But obviously, this is the last one that's not going to be on the Apple campus. I would think that they'll be doing these. Maybe not. Google's doing its developers conference next door to Google, and then people come over to Google for the rest of this stuff. The keynote is at Shoreline Amphitheater.
That's good, yeah.
And Apple, but I think Apple's new theater
is not big enough.
Oh, it might not be big enough.
Yeah, exactly. I think on campus.
Are they afraid of spies?
Well, it's an uncontrollable situation. Yeah. They don't want to have like thousands of people that are by nature going to like pair off into little groups and try to find a place where they can have a private conversation and find out that they're in a room with lots of really fancy tables that are covered with blue sheets. You know.
Yeah. You want to see how the Apple Park is progressing?
I think that San Jose is making a pretty hard push. We've seen Google go south, Facebook go south, Apple go south. So I think that, you know, they're making it advantageous for them to do that.
People want to come to San Francisco because San Jose is kind of dead. But if this is where the mothership is, you might as well come down here. Mm-hmm. So now the building is pretty much done. I understand they told us people would be moving in this month, right? In fact, I thought they were going to move in April.
The rumors told us.
Yeah, the rumor mill said. But there's still, as you can see, there's a lot of landscaping going on, and there's still a big pile of dirt. Look at those trees, though.
It definitely looks very Jetson, though. When you look at the entrances to the underground parking and everything else,
yeah,
it does feel like it's going to be.
Look how mature these trees are, and they're all in containers. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that the people who buy trees for parks and stuff are pissed at Apple because they're buying up all the mature trees in the world.
But how many of them are apple trees?
Yeah, they're all none of them. They look like they're all evergreen. They're, you know what they are? They're native.
Have an apple tree. Now that you think about
they
it,
have
I mean,
an apple
it
orchard.
Like, goodness, that'd be great.
This apple area all was plum trees. This is San Jose was the prune yard.
Oh God, I'm looking at the theater roof, and I'm thinking that little like a lighter colored like dot at the top, that should totally be an Apple logo, like on the back
Let's
of
go
a MacBook.
Back to that. Oh, why isn't it a glowing Apple logo?
I can't look at that and not think, that's what they should totally have done.
But then turn it on, especially.
Look, they've already got traffic.
Light pops up.
There's traffic already coming in. Wow. These guys are so used to drones flying over, they don't even look up anymore. It's like,
I think that cherry picker must be like doing a tracking shot of that guy who's walking.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's they're making the video, the making of Apple Park. I think that's the R&D building, which is separate. And, you know, obviously very secure so that Johnny Ive and company can invent the next Apple product and privacy and security.
I think the whole thing should actually have that floating sign on top that they had put on the title at the very beginning there. It's just like covering an air before the whole thing.
Yeah, how do we know what this is? It's just a circle when we fly over, fly into San Jose.
If it had, you know, that giant glowing sign.
There'll be some signage. Come on, there's going to be something. What's this big gray dot in the middle? There's going to be some science.
Come on, we know that's where the missile is.
No, that's right. That's the missile silo opening.
Maybe that's the helicopter pad.
Yeah. For people listening at home, you know, you're not missing anything.
Qualcomm is going to the answer will be, we have our fingers on the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
We will launch if you do not pull down your lawsuit.
It's very evil genius looking, I must say. Yeah. There's a gym. There's a big gym. Lots of room for geeks to work out. There you go. Apple Park, getting closer. I'm thinking now the next iPhone announcement will be in this big new theater. What do you think? I hope so.
I would think so.
Yeah, and I'm going to lobby. Like I said, I'm lobbying.
I think I'd be surprised if there were, if in the next month or two there wasn't a one or two or three very trusted journalists or outlets were not allowed to have the exclusive tour, or maybe they're holding that for 60 Minutes or
That's Charlie Rose in 60 Minutes for sure.
I do think that my guess is the new iPhone announcement, whenever that occurs, will most likely happen in that theater. I think that the timing of exactly when they move in is probably still flexible.
It's too perfect.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks to Duncan Sinfeld, who's one of the two drone pilots who has been providing video footage of the new Apple campus. And that video we ran was Duncan's video. Let's see. What else? Tim Cook and Jeff Williams, named to Time's list of the 20 most influential people in tech right now. Jeff is the COO at Apple. Tim, I think, has an important job there. Tim finished behind Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg. But he was on the list. He was number 4. These lists are dumb. These are as bad as rumors. Don't you think?
I think they should do instant runoff voting for those kinds of things. So, you know, you could rank them in order. And I mean, how do they say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do a list of the most influential people on MacBreak.
There you go. We're the ones on that list.
We're also 5 people who don't wear ties. Apparently.
Yeah.
Mom would be very if I were like the CEO of a company that big and my official photo, like my mom would call me the next day saying, why weren't you wearing a tie?
None of these people
put on a tie. It was a big, important photo. You should have been wearing a tie.
This is interesting because, well, Ajit Pai, the chairman of the FCC, who's number 11, is wearing a tie. But I think he's the only person wearing a tie in all of these 20 people, including Tim. And, of course, Zuckerberg's wearing a T-shirt. Bezos is wearing a casual jacket and open neck. No tie. Is this the end of the necktie? Is this Silicon Valley telling us it's... Karsten, you're a bow tie wearer. You don't get to vote. Karsten goes, no! Wow, the only person wearing a necktie in there is the... John Liu, who I guess works for Didi.
I think that when I on the occasional times that I wear a tie, it does feel kind of dressy. It's kind of cool, but I look at it and I'm like, this is the most absurd thing that I've ever.
Goofy. You know
that it is absurd that I have a piece of cloth just hanging here for no reason. Like there is nothing there. I'm not going to dab my face with it. I'm going to spend the entire day making sure it doesn't get caught into something or doesn't get it's because usually I'm wearing them because I'm working. And so I'm always like, it's going to get caught on a case or something.
So they've done this before. And here's another rumor. Sorry, Adam. According to 9to5 Mac, Apple is going to do another one of those overnight refreshes on May 16th of older Apple stores. They do these. They come in and they just overnight, they revamp the whole store. They did it in 2015, right? What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry, but I'm going on eBay right now. I bet there's some Chinese distributor that can sell me like 4 dozen like comical rubber noses. And I just want to buy a bag of those and like pre-glue them and then just sneak into a store on a busy day and just like stick noses on those bowling ball sized like wooden things that they put the headphones on. You're just begging for like a Groucho glasses on those things.
Yeah. Yeah. They do.
Make fun of us for having these things.
If you're going to take the trouble of bringing in rubber noses, bring some googly eyes while you're at it. Why don't they have noses and googly eyes?
Yeah, see, it looks a lot like the company store. They did a big remodel of the company store a couple of years ago.
That's right.
The first time.
That's right.
A few months ago. It really, I don't know how it'll translate to a bigger store that is designed to be in a mall where regular people are going to come. But boy, that's the company store looks really antiseptic and sterile and boring. The old place was a lot of fun because it looked like a regular store. It said, please come in, explore, see what we have. This one is like, hello. I am employee unit number 12. I am now free to assist you to answer your specific query. If you do not have a specific query, I will stare at you blankly, wondering why you came into the store if you do not have a specific query. Like, okay.
I thought what I thought was interesting. I went to, I don't know if this is one of the new store looks or whatever, but I went to the Corte Madera, you know, one that's just near here. And what I noticed was how sparse it had become, you know. So it used to be there was lots of shelves and there was all this stuff. Now they've opened it up. You know, they had theaters when they first started making these, and then they got rid of the theaters.
Yeah. And they're back.
Now they're bringing them all back, and they're like little like squares on the floor that you can sit on, and there's a little screen there and everything else. But they cleared out a lot of that area. They've gotten rid of all the registers, of course, because everyone just takes your order wherever you're standing, or you do your own order. But what's interesting is how little is on the shelves. Like, it's all the Apple products, and it's really just – I think it's going to become extremely competitive to be in the Apple store, because I think they've cut out – like, it looked like they cut out two-thirds of the you know, yeah, what was on the shelves before.
Yeah, and everything is behind like hidden drawers. You will see one example of it, and then the rest of the stock is behind there. And it's just a little hard to get used to. You're used to thinking, "Hey, I'm going to browse. Oh, great, I like this case. Let me pick it up and test it, and then I'll look through to see what are the kinds of cases and different colors." So I don't think it's encouraging people to linger. I think it's like, "Come in, give us your money. We'll give you something. Please leave."
Well, it might have been in answer to a problem. The Apple stores were getting really crowded for a while.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Every store was just jammed with people. And I bet you know, half of them were just looking at stuff.
So. And half of them were surfing the web.
It's great internet. Great place to get some Wi-Fi if you need it. Yeah.
Well, not even that. There was just always somebody. There's always people posting on Facebook or somewhere from any Mac that was connected to the internet. Yep. There. Everyone always get in there, go to the web and start updating because they're traveling and they're in San Francisco and they got, you know, this is a place to upload.
Well, they kind of asked for it in San Francisco with the trees and the, you know.
Yeah,
the forest of the Apple store. I still haven't visited that store.
I haven't been to the new one. I've only, you know, obviously I spent a lot of time in the old one.
The one across the street from Virgin, yeah.
Yeah, the store in Munich is always day and night. There's people there, even if the store is closed on Sundays and whatever.
Outside?
Outside. They're hanging outside.
Using the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Do they serve beer? Is it true? I've heard this. They serve beer in the Apple store in Munich.
No. I think it's a missed opportunity. It's a genius bar should be a bar.
It should be a bar. Bar. Bar.
This is the problem. We don't have the noses. We don't have the genius bar actually serving beer. What happened to the Apple that was fun?
Yeah.
Apple used to be fun.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Now it's only money.
You would solve the sliding tiles puzzle, and what would you get? You would get a whistling, dancing penguin. Where is the Apple that decided we want to reward people with a whistling, dancing penguin?
There is a connection between Tim Cook and Elon Musk. Apparently, Apple bought new testing machines for its batteries developed by Tesla's battery research partner. Batteries are big, and getting better batteries is huge. And, you know, I have to say credit to Elon and Tesla, because they're really pushing this lithium-ion technology as far as it can go. And they're building that big, you know, they built that big giga factory building that he's going to build more, he says, in the U.S.
Well, I think that when you look at the combination, and this is a little bit of a rat hole, but we were in a bunch of discussions internally about Elon Musk and how far he's pushing the industry. Well, a lot of people talk about carbon emissions and everything else. He's probably doing more than any single person to affect carbon emissions. When you look at, you know, a solar solution, a battery solution that fixes that solar solution, and then cars that essentially will be, when your solar solutions work and your battery solutions work, and your cars are almost free to drive, you know, because there's not, you know, they're not, they're you're getting,
I got 30 panels on my roof that charges my Tesla. An amazing feeling to drive around town knowing I generated the power to drive down. And it's a great car. It's a fun car to drive.
We're doing the same thing. We have 20 kilowatts driving, generating power for our Leaf. Yeah. And it really is interesting how it changes your attitude towards driving. Because we were always that kind of those kind of people who would like, well, if we're going out, we better make sure we're doing all the errands.
Yep.
And it's not that we're driving randomly now, but there's just a little bit less of stress involved with, I'm wasting energy. I'm burning fossil fuels. It's all just out there in the field picking up solar.
Yep. It's really true. All right, let's take a break and prepare your picks. And Oliver, you didn't expect to be here, but if you have something to pick, I'll let you do that. Something cool, something different.
Putting
something
me on the spot here.
It could be a shoe. It could be something in your briefcase. I'll show you. Well, I got something, but we'll talk about it in a second. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, WordPress.com. I've moved my blog to WordPress.com. It's really a homecoming for me. For 10 years, I ran a self-hosted WordPress.com. That's where Leoville was. And so moving to WordPress.com, it's great. They keep the software up to date. They run the back end. And then there's a secondary benefit to going to WordPress.com that I really like is there's a whole community there. If you go to WordPress.com, they promote websites. You people can follow you. They can favorite you. You get a lot of traffic directly from WordPress, which is really interesting. Of course, WordPress is the definitive platform for creating a website, whether it's a blog or for your business. So many publications that we know run on WordPress. Paul Thurrott's blog is, you know, Thurrott.com. That's all of Petri is on WordPress. So many publications use WordPress. So many businesses. In fact, get this, 27% of all websites run on WordPress. Even if you know nothing about building a website, WordPress will make it easy. Hundreds of themes to start with. Pick a template. Make your own. I wanted to get a slideshow on the front page of my WordPress site, you know, with big pictures, because I really like having the pictures of all the people I work with and stuff. And their concierge support said, no problem here. This is easy. And so there you go. And I set up a great-looking blog in minutes, and I'm really proud of it. I love WordPress. And there's Jeff and Gina. And see the follow button? I don't know if you can see that. It's down on the bottom. The follow button is awesome because if you – oh, I know why. I can tell you what's going on. But if you click follow, then you can join the 593,000 – what? I have almost 600,000 followers at WordPress.com, and that's the beauty of that. That is the beauty of that. You want to get on WordPress, you could do it right now. 15% off any new plan purchase. WordPress.com/MacBreak. Create your website. Find the plan that's right for you, for your business, for your personal blog. It's easy. It's fun. I'm a fan, and I'm really glad to be back home. WordPress.com/MacBreak. Aussie Geek Girl says she likes the WordPress Divi theme. I haven't tried. That's one of the things that's always fun is, you know, your content's separate from the theme, so you can always play with that. I didn't realize I have now almost 600,000 followers at WordPress.com. See, that's why you go there. All right, time for our picks of the week. Let's start with Adam Engst, see what he's up to. Hi, Adam.
So my pick of the week just popped up in my email this morning. It's a program that has been around for 30 years, PopCare.
Oh, my God. It's still around?
It's still around. It's its 30th anniversary this week.
It's older than Tidbits.
It is. I was like, holy cats. This is still – I mean, I sort of knew it had been around forever, but I didn't realize it was that old. And so it's now from Ergona Software. They've been around for 15 years as a company. And – PopCare, yeah. So it's this, it puts this little P in the upper corner of your screen. You click it and you get this, you know, dialogue thingy that shows you all sorts of special characters. You can change fonts to see what's going on. If you use fonts and special characters in any way, PopCare is really a must. I mean, it's just a really cool little app and well worth checking out for, you know, designers or graphics folks or anyone who wants to do that. I mean, even just like the magnifier. So, you know, you get all those funny little Unicode characters and you can actually see what they look like if your eyes aren't as good anymore these days, being able to zoom in real quickly with just a press of a key.
Nice. I'm so thrilled they're still around. They haven't been Sherlocked.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And that's true because there is now the, you know, you can hit Control Command Space right. and get the character dialogue for all the emoji and stuff. But no, PopCare is still the way that the pros do it.
Nice. How about you, Alex Lindsay, your pick of the week?
Laughter.
I am recommending this week a goodie but oldie, the iPhone 6S.
What are you, nuts? It's one Alex though. There's something to be said for that.
I have gone back.
From the seven.
I'm gonna give somebody else the seven. And I'm eating crow right now because I said it didn't matter that Apple took away the headphone jack. Yeah. And I finally had one trip where I lost it and I was like, I'm done. I'm done. Like, I can't.
Such
I
a pain
five
in the butt.
These. I bought yeah. five of the little adapters because the first week I lost it and I couldn't find it. So then I went to Amazon. I bought five of them and I put them everywhere. And then I'm on the road in a place that doesn't have an Apple store and they're not easy to find, you know, like, you know, locally. And I'm holding this thing up and I don't have any headphones and everything else. And I was just like, enough, you know, like, and so I miss the 2X. You know, the 2X video. I mean, that's the one thing that I think I don't miss the portrait thing. And my daughter's got curly hair and it doesn't work. So I do miss the 2X because I take slow motion of my son every time he bats on baseball. And then we talk about his batting, you know, with the slow motion. And but I can do that. It turned out that the wide angle was fine. So I've been kind of converting to that. I actually got two. I got the 6S and then I got the SE, which I like a lot. The SE is actually what I spend most of my time talking on the phone on because it fits in my pocket better. Because I have a T-Mobile when I travel. And so I couldn't. Maybe and part of it is also that Apple doesn't. I walk into the Apple store. I could probably pre-order them. But, they haven't figured out the whole getting their AirPods available that you can just walk in and get them. Because I would have done that, you know, a long time ago. I don't get around to ordering things sometimes. But I just decided that I'm not really a wireless person either. I really like it to be wired. And so I went back and I was wrong. It turns out that the lightning finally over not having a lightning port finally or not having a headphone jack finally overcame all the other advantages of the phone. that's my recommendation for today.
I disagree with you. I love the AirPods and I'll use those. But I do. I mean, all of my other phones have headphone jacks.
And I think the problem is I'm very attached to my Edimotics.
Your Edimotics. That's exactly for me too. I love my headphones
for phone calls specifically. They are I can hear the best. They don't have the best bass, but that actually means that I can hear the phone call much better.
Very accurate.
The microphone, for whatever reason, is better. We've tested it against like every headphone jack out there, and the microphone is better for people on the other end than anything else we've tested. That is also just a regular headphone. So anyway,
Oliver, you got a tip for us? Maybe a great German beer to recommend? Or
I'm gonna pick a place. You know, the best place I've been to on this trip, apart from the new studio here, which I like really much, is Asilomar State Beach.
Isn't Asilomar great? Ted was originally, I think, at Asilomar.
Yeah. So and I got a chance to see it without fog, and that's really
proud of Asilomar. Yeah. There's the Asilomar Lodge. A lot of conferences used to be there. The original Ted was there, and then there's the beautiful beach right next to it. Well, I'm glad you saw some of the real California.
Yep,
very good choice. Did you go? Did you go swimming? Because the ocean's very cold.
That's
there.
a little bit of cold. Yeah,
we have these great beaches in Northern California, but the water is freezing. Andy Iannocco, pick of the week.
This is actually a follow-up. Just like Alex, I was late to a certain bandwagon. I finally got a pair of AirPods. Was it last week or a week ago that I made the pick of the week because I liked it and they even worked great with my Android phone. The only complaint that I made is that I often like to wear headphones or at least one headphone while I'm riding my bike. And although the AirPods were staying put very, very well, when you got these dangly bits on the helmet and you kind of think that this is going to knock the thing, the AirPod out of your ear. And a fellow on Twitter that I'm sorry that I didn't get his name recommended the Spigen Tekka AirPod ear hooks. These are little silicone, little snappy-onny things that slip onto the AirPod, and they give you this little extra little rubbery thing that will sort of nestles into the loops and whirls inside your ear bone and keep it a little bit more secure while still having cutouts for all the important things that make the AirPod work. The other nice thing, they're available in all kind in like four different colors, including black. So if you are concerned about one of these things ever dropping out and then, oh my God, this is white and I've just dropped it on a beach I was walking in the snow, I'm not going to find this white earbud in the snow. Well, if you put the green green or the black ear covers on them, maybe you will see some contrast against whatever it fell into. And they're dirt cheap, but they're $12 and you get a pair of two. And so they're certainly, I've been wearing them off and on, and they're, they don't make it less comfortable. They make it feel a little bit more secure. If you've got the sort of shaped ear shape where it, you feel that it's staying in there, but you feel as though it could fall out really easily, maybe give these a try. You might find these fit a little bit more secure. They certainly don't affect the audio any. And again, for $12 for a pair of two, you may as well give them a try. I like them a lot.
I like them too. Our neighbors,
you have to take them off before you put them in the charging thing, though. So obviously,
that's the disadvantage. That's the only, you can't really just snap them into the dental floss case. Yeah.
But they're easy enough to put on and off.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have any problem with AirPods falling out, so I'm happy with the stock AirPods. But a lot of people do, and that will solve it. Oddly enough, my pick comes from our neighbors. It turns out Joby is just around the corner, and every once in a while they pop by and they bring us stuff. And they brought me this, and I'm very excited. Now, we've all seen the Gorilla Pod before. These are the little tripods that, you know, you can bend around anything. This one has the mount that fits any phone, you know, any camera phone. So I could put the camera phone in here very easily. Then this is nice. It has a Bluetooth shutter button that'll pair to the phone. You put that on your keychain, and so you could put the tripod here and take a picture, which is very cool. And I really like this. This is the GripTight one. These are magnetic feet. So if you've got something that's magnetic, you could just attach the phone. You can't really see it, but you can attach the phone by magnet, the tripod by magnet. So this makes it really, really even more flexible. And sometimes I have to say, you know, I've got, when I've been shipboard, for instance, and wrapped this around the railing on the ship, I'm very nervous about, you know, losing my phone overboard. The magnets on the feet are very strong and give it an additional kind of sense of security. $59.95, the GripTight One, if you want to get... I need a magnet on my table. If you just fell over. If you want to get a, you know, get the special phone adapter. But if you go to Joby, you'll see you can add a lot of different things. This is the mount plus the magnetic Gorilla Pod. There you go.
I think it needs to actually walk.
It feels like it's alive, doesn't it? Especially yeah. when it's in that kind of weird spider mode. But I've been very happy with this, and I actually it's small enough and light enough that I carry it in my briefcase. So I always have some way to mount a camera phone. It makes it very convenient to always have that capability. And if you could either keep the Bluetooth trigger on your keychain, they've got a little fob for that, but it also has a place to mount it right on the back of the tripod, so it's always there to pull off and use. Very compact, very light, $60, GripTight One. We are done. Thank you, everybody, for joining me today. Thank you, Oliver, for coming all the way from Munich.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Great to see you. Yeah. Oliver, of course, is the man in charge at Boinks, B-O-I-N-X, software.com, and they make a variety of really useful applications and apps, including the new MIMO Live, which is designed for streaming to a variety of different places. Facebook, of course, one of the big ones. But you said Periscope. If anybody's doing Periscope still,
interestingly, the state park people do. So
they use MIMO Live.
No, they
use Periscope. They better hurry up and get something to replace it. It's a switcher. It's the whole thing. It's kind of amazing what you're doing with this. I can't wait to play with it a little bit. Everything you need to do a multi-camera shoots. With a variety of inputs. And how much is MIMO Live in the United States? There are a variety of licenses depending on how you're going to use it.
Yeah, it's a subscription model now, and we do like a one-year license for personal use is $199 a year.
Cool. A lot less than a TriCaster.
Yeah, commercial use is $700 a year. Yeah. And
yeah. You can do it for broadcast. We would be broadcast probably, right? I'd have to pay you the full freight.
You should.
Thanks for nice to see you. Thanks for being here. Thanks to you too, Adam. Congratulations on your run and on selling Take Control to Joe, which is awesome. And, of course, 27 years of the best Mac newsletter there is, the original.
Thank you.
Tidbits.com.
Always good to be here.
Nice to have you. We had Tanya a couple of weeks, so that was fun, too.
Yeah.
Andy Iannacco, he's at the Chicago Sun-Times, where he writes for a living and for fun. And you can catch his work there or on his blog, Celestial Waste of Bandwidth, at CWOB.com. And he's on the Twitter, IHNATKO. Thank you, Andrew.
That's the, you win the Buick. That is how I know that someone is a close personal friend, where they say it from memory and they spell it right.
It's after many years, there are a lot of names I still get wrong, but yours I've got it. I've nailed it down. We've been friends long enough. And
God
of course,
bless you, Leland.
Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Course. Always nice to see you, Alex. Sunburned from your sons. So Malachi's playing baseball.
Malachi and Isabella play baseball. Yeah. They're both playing. They're in Little League right
T-ball?
Now. No, they're one above T-ball. Or Bella's really technically in T-ball. She's still if they don't hit it or whatever, they have coach pitching or whatever.
Coach pitching. Yeah,
and
But Malachi's doing like real Little League. How old is he now?
He's nine.
What?
9 years old.
No, he's
Bella's
not.
Seven. Yeah, we have to come. We'll bring him up for the tour.
I still think of him as like babies.
No. Yeah, Malachi's nine. Bella's seven.
No.
And
that's great. I'd love to see him.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get him up there soon. Sometime.
Thanks to all of you for joining us. Thanks to our great studio audience. And by the way, Jess is just fast asleep. Does he always sleep when Mac Break Weekly's on? Yeah, they're on. Mom and Dad are going, yeah. He hears my voice as... nice to have all of our studio audience of viewers. If you want to be in the studio audience, it's open. All of our shows are open. All you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv, and we'll let you know if we're going to be around on your particular date. And if we are, we'll put a chair out for you. You can also watch the live stream. We're on every possible streaming platform. YouTube Live at youtube.com/twit. Ustream.tv/twit. Twitch.tv/twit. And on our own webpage, twit.tv/live. So watch live. Join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. It's Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. But if you can't be here in person, you can get on-demand versions of audio and video of everything we do at our website. In this case, twit.tv/mbw. Do me a favor. Subscribe. We always appreciate it if you subscribe to the shows. And if you have a podcast application that you like on your phone, just add us. That way you'll always have another episode waiting for you. Thanks for being here. But now, I'm sorry to say, it's time to get back to work, 'cause break time is over. See you later. Bye-bye.